The questions, what must I do to be saved, and what must I do to stay saved, are equally important. In our audience tonight, many of you are Christians. You know what one must do in order to be saved. There are those requirements given to us in Scripture. One must hear the message of God. The message that God has revealed helps us to understand what one must do to be saved. Jesus explained the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 14. He said that the sower sows the word. That is the word of God. Matthew 13 verse 19, a similar account of that same parable, calls the seed the word of the kingdom. Matthew would continue in chapter 13, verse 23, to say that the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Mark's account, though, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, tells that that good soul is the hearts of those who hear the word and accept it. The word accept, which Mark used, means to react favorably to. When a person hears the word of God, that person should react favorably to it. That is, they should try to understand it. And based on an understanding of it, should therefore try to fulfill it. One must believe what God has said about Himself and His Son in order to fulfill the message of God's Word. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him," speaking of God, "for he who comes to God must believe that He is and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In order to establish a strong confidence in who God is and how God works, and to have reliance upon Him, God sent His Son into the world. John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Just as the hearing of the Word, belief in God and in His Son must be reacted to favorably. One who is reacting favorably to the message of God, saying that one believes what God has said about Himself and His Son, would be led to follow what God instructs for him to do. God instructs for one to repent of sin. As Jesus began His ministry here upon the earth, He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus would call for some in Luke chapter 13 to repent after asking them two questions about some who had lost their life. He answered His own question before the crowd that day, saying that in part of His answer, that unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3 and 5. So Jesus indicated that where sin is, there is a need for repentance. A person who turns from sin through a change of self, a change of heart, a change of mind, that abandons the former dispositions and results in a new self, must acknowledge that God is the power and the source of forgiveness and that change being brought in their life. One who's confessed or repented of sin, then, must also confess that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a verbal confession and acknowledgement, if you will, that tells witnesses that a believer accepts Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, to be the anointed one, the Savior of the world, the one that the Lord, or that God rather, had chosen to send into the world. It is this one that they accept to be the master of their life. Romans 10 and verse 9. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32 that everyone who confesses him before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." So a person who acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, as the one who was chosen by God, the anointed one sent to save the world, can be saved through baptism. One must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus spoke of this in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He said, "He who believed and is baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved, that is, refuses to believe or refuses to trust in or rely upon God, shall be condemned." A person is baptized to receive or to accept the forgiveness of sins which God offers through His Son. Peter presented this message as recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 when he said, "Repent," that is, turn away from your sins, "and each of you be baptized," cleansed or washed, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of or pardon or release from your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Only those who have been baptized believers, have the Holy Spirit working in them. But the full salvation is yet to be revealed. It's yet to be received. It will be received by those who have been obedient to the gospel and are found to be faithful at the Lord's return. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 encourages all believers to be faithful unto death. "Be faithful so long as you live, and you will receive the crown of righteousness." If one remains alive until the Lord does return, that one must be living faithfully to the Lord at the time of His return. Paul instructed Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 to test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. That is, to see if you are still holding on to the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you failed the test? It's interesting to note that Paul does not give a list, a checklist of items for us to check off and to say, "I'm in the faith, and because I'm in the faith, I know that I am saved." But it's safe for us to say, his intent is to see if one is living up to the standard to which God has called believers. That standard to which we have been called is set quite high. But it is obtainable, not by human means, but by one's reliance upon God. Now that we know what one must do in order to be saved, what does one have to do in order to stay saved? 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20 and going through verse 22, reveals that when those who have been saved go back into the world, their condition is worse. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed down to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire.'" It would be far worse for one who is saved to return to their former way of living than for them to have never known the way of righteousness, to never come to a knowledge of that which is right. So how is it that one is to stay saved and avoid this terrible, dreaded condition? Well, if one wants to be saved and stay saved, he must realize that one can fall. After baptism, one can fall back into sin. Simon was a man who believed and was baptized according to Acts chapter 13, or Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, I should say. But notice what Simon did that made Peter have to say, "Your heart is not right before God." It's in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 18, we read, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part in this matter or portion, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity.' But Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.'" A baptized believer, as Simon was, had fallen back into sin. He had done that which was not pleasing in the sight of God, therefore his heart was not right before God. We are warned against falling away in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. The Bible reads, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." A good way to avoid falling physically is to be aware that one can fall and give careful attention to avoid things which would hinder one from standing. And so we're encouraged to avoid that which would hinder us from standing in the faith. But one can still choose to depart from the faith as well. The Hebrew writer penned, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Hebrews 3, verse 12. That word that is rendered by the New American Standard as "fall away" is a term that means to depart, to go away. Care must be taken so that a Christian does not go away or move away from God. But one can still fall from God's grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." Any attempt to be approved or declared righteous by the keeping of the law, specifically that law of Moses, is futile. It removes the follower specifically from grace, wherein obtaining righteousness is a gift offered through trust in Jesus Christ and obedience to God's will. Brethren who err from the truth are to be restored. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." James was the one who announced that any believer can stumble and stray from God's truth. James chapter 5, verse 19. "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." All of these writings commend to us that we are to be aware that one can fall away, and to take care, take constant, diligent care to avoid things that would hinder us standing before God clothed in righteousness. If one wants to stay saved, he must realize that he can fall. If one wants to stay saved, he must cease the practice of sinful habits. The saved have become new creatures, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And because they have become new creatures, the old things have passed away. The new things have come. But sinful habits can easily and quickly creep back into our lives. New sinful habits can develop. So after baptism, one is to walk in newness of life. Replace the old with the new. Begin the walk as quickly as possible. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. This new life in Christ is a new way of living that is different from the former way of doing things. This new life in Christ for the Christian is governed by the Master to whom the Christian has pledged allegiance. And thus we strive to follow Christ's will. But one is born again, is born of God. And the one born of God cannot sin. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 9. He said, "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." The Christian's behavior ought to show that he is born again, that he is born of God. God has therefore implanted the believer with his seed, the seed of his nature, so that we have a strong urge, a great desire to be like him, to be transformed. This Christian is now following after this new nature, the nature of the Spirit and not that of the flesh. Listen to what's written in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Being as the Christian, the new believer, who has been obedient to God's will, is under grace, it does not give us the right to dismiss all thoughts concerning sin. One should be concerned about sin and sinful habits because they can deceive us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 inform us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." One who is in Christ should have great confidence that eternal life is theirs. It's theirs for the taking. But Christians should also be encouraged by what we find in Colossians chapter 3. Specifically, note verses 1 through 3 as these Christians are encouraged. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth." We know where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. And we can go to be where He is, for He's going to return and take the faithful with Him. So what we ought to think about are the things which are above, rather than the things that are upon this earth. When we think about the things which are above, when we think about Christ, then we're led to follow the actions instructed in verses 5 and following. Colossians 3, beginning of verse 5. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immortality or immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put aside all these: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. If you want to stay saved, then one must cease to practice sinful habits. Stop the practice of sinful habits. Embrace your faith in God. Recognize your position in Christ and have confidence in your salvation. If one wants to stay saved, he must keep in touch with God. God speaks to us today in His Word, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And so we ought to listen to God daily. Examine the Scriptures like the Bereans of Acts 17 and verse 11. Give attention to the reading and exhortation, that is, the explanation of Scripture, and the teachings of Scripture, as Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. Be eager and zealous. Put forth the utmost effort to be approved by God as a workman who has no need to be ashamed, teaching correctly the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We ought to develop a love for God's word like the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 119 verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." But listening to God is only one aspect of keeping in touch with God. We must also speak to God daily. Christians are encouraged in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the message of the exhortation, pray without ceasing, is simply to never give up on praying. While walking and talking with God each day, we ought to confess sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we ought to spend time speaking to God, and we ought to spend time listening to Him. But we also might be advised from Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 to spend time with other Christians, specifically those who are devoted to God's Word. Spend time with them. We know the ways of the world and how they can taint us. The ways of the Christian, one who is devoted to God's Word, would encourage us all the more in our Christian walk to stay faithful. So to stay saved, we might consider staying in constant contact with God and His people. If one wants to stay saved, he must always put God first. God's kingdom is to be first. Jesus said such in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's kingdom, submitting to His rule and authority, and doing what God requires, that which pleases Him, should be the primary concern for every Christian. One can never compromise with sin and error. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 encourages the Christian to put on the full armor of God, that he may be able to stand firm in the faith, to stand against all of the schemes of the devil and all of the evil forces which he uses against the Christian. If one wants to stay saved, he must submit to God's will, do what pleases God, and stand strong in the faith. He can do this when he puts God first. If one wants to stay saved, he must be a doer of the word. Self-deception is present when we hear and fail to do. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves." If one stops responding to the word by action, that one is in danger of becoming a hearer only. One who is a hearer of the word and not a doer of it is like the one who looks at what needs to be done but does not do that which is needed. James would continue that discussion. In chapter 1 and verse 27, he spoke of pure religion, that which the Christian should do. He spoke of that pure religion, saying that the Christian ought to think about others and think about himself. He said to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction or in their distress. One ought to actively consider the needs of those orphans and those widows and then actively assist them with their needs. But then he followed it by saying, "And keep oneself unspotted, unstained by the world." Keep from being stained or corrupted by the ways of the world. In other words, don't let the world determine what should be said and what should be done. James would continue in chapter 2 and verse 17 to say that faith without works is dead. Faith and works go together. Faith without works is lifeless, inactive, and useless. Faith without works is a faith that's been tainted by the world. And so one who wants to stay saved must be a doer of the word. What's interesting in this aspect is that one can help their own faith by helping others. Simply do what the faith teaches. It is important that one be saved. It's also important that one stay saved. We need to know what to do in order to be saved, and God's Word has revealed that to us. We also need to know what we must do in order to stay saved. And God's Word has revealed this to us as well. But now we need to be at work. Be at work doing the very things we know that need to be done in order to ensure our salvation. I leave you this evening with two questions. First, have you been saved? If you've not yet been saved, we would encourage you to consider it. Consider your position before God as a sinner, one who is in need of God's grace, one who needs God's mercy, and the love that He has shown to all mankind. If you're in that condition, we would ask you to respond, to accept God's offer, a free gift to you, if you will but believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you have been saved, my question for you is, are you saved now? Many struggle with this question as the years pass by. They may forget the date and time in which they were baptized. They may forget the occurrence of it, the things that were happening, and that sometimes draws concerns. Concerns of the heart and mind. Did I do it for the right reason? Was I aware of what I was doing? If you have been saved, I would encourage you to consider, are you saved now? not to alarm you, not to cause any harm to you, but for you to truly consider it. There are some things you could have done that have led you away from God, to fall from His grace, to fall away from Him. But if you're a Christian, you also need to consider it so that you can be assured of your salvation. Remember your salvation. Enjoy the salvation provided to you by the Lord. Tonight it may be the case that you're one who needs to be saved. We would encourage you to respond. It may be the case you're saved already, but there are things in this life of which you need help and assistance that only God can help with. If you need to come to Him to seek that help, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.